Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
I'm not coming to you, God, as a last measure. I'm coming to you now, God, with this. Doesn't mean we don't go to doctors. It means we go to God first, or we go to God when we get that news and we move forward. We are loyal to trust in God.
When you get that phone call and it's bad news, do you go to God first? When you get that promotion or great news from a family member, is God the first one you run to rejoice with? God wants loyal hearts that abide with Him during the good times, the bad times, and all the times in between. We're learning a great lesson on prayer today from Hezekiah. Here's more from Isaiah 38 with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
The Bible says, "Be still and know that He is God." Another place says, "Don't rush into His presence." So I want to make sure that I just don't go in and go, "Give me this, give me that, bless me, Lord, and that's that. Amen, I'm out." I kind of want to slow down. I want to set my heart on God. And I want to make sure that I'm walking in truth with God. The things are right between Him and me. The Bible says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. It's another prayer that I would use to say that prayer changes things. We're told that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much, which means that there are prayers that don't accomplish much, but there is a way that your prayers can accomplish much. And one of them is that they come from a righteous man. Now, the word righteousness, it's interesting. We will take the word righteousness, purity, and holiness, and we'll interject them as if they're the same. Lord, I want to walk before you in righteous purity and holiness. And to us, that's all the same thing. But the word righteousness is a very interesting word. It means that things are right between you and God. When you have a right relationship with God, you are righteous. When you have a right relationship with the people around you, you are righteous. A few years ago, people would say of individual, "He's a righteous dude." And what we meant by that is he's a guy that treats people right. It's the same thing. You're righteous. God says in, I think it's 1 Peter 3:7 to men, it says, "Husbands, live with your wives with understanding and treat them with honor as the weaker vessel." Don't think that that's misogynistic, by the way. Some people are, "That's a bit misogynistic, the weaker vessel." It's a couple of things. Number one, physically, the woman is most often weaker, sometimes not. Sometimes the gal can take the guy. We understand that. But most often, there's a protection sense in which the husband has. So the Bible is just addressing that. And the word for weaker there can also mean valuable. So husbands, live with your wives with understanding as a valuable vessel. Our wives are valuable in our lives. And then it says, so that your prayers won't be hindered. So if you're not right, if you're not living with your wife with understanding, if you're not treating her tenderly as a valuable vessel, that means that your prayers could be hindered because you're not righteous. It's not just righteousness with God. You're not righteous in your marriage. There may be other relationships. You may be mistreating people. You may be stealing from people. There may be things in your life where you are not right with people around you, and those things will stand in the way between you and God. You want to be righteous. And it's not just the righteousness in the sense that I've gone out there, I've done the work. But in 2 Corinthians, it says, "He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God." It's supernaturally applied to Robert Furrow. That the moment that I say to him, "Lord, I'm not always doing the things I want to do. I don't always treat people the way that I should. I'm sorry, forgive me and help me to be able to do so." That at that point, the righteousness of God is placed upon me. And I am now right before God in a way that Isaiah never could be, because the righteousness of God was never applied to him that way. It's applied to us that way. So that when you begin to pray, you just got to make sure things are right. You can't be like Saul, living for yourself, and then say, "Lord, why don't you speak to me?" It's pretty obvious. You're living for yourself. But if you are living for God and you are calling out to Him and you are righteous, then your prayers will be, what does it say? Effective. Lives are going to change. Things are going to happen because you pray, because I pray. When the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man or woman accomplishes much. So he says, God, remember, O God, that I walk with you in truth. He's saying he's honest. He's not saying he's perfect. He's not saying he's sinless. He's saying things are right between us. I walk with you in honesty. I walk with you in truth. And when we walk with God in honesty and truth and righteousness, then there is power in our prayers. And he says that I walk with you in truth and with a loyal heart. Well, what's loyalty? Loyalty is that when there's a difficulty or a struggle, we go to God, maybe first. We go to God and look for direction from where we go there. Too often when a struggle comes into our lives, the first thing that we do is roll up our sleeves and go to fix it. There's a king in the Bible. His name was Ahaz. His name was Asa. Sounds like Ahaz. Might as well be the same for us, but Asa became king when he was a young man. And immediately, the Ethiopians attacked him. And they attacked him with this incredibly large army. Well, Asa, as the young king of Israel, gathered together his troops and came out to fight against them and was significantly smaller. And he cried out, "Oh God, you know that we can't win without you. So please hear this prayer and let us have victory today." And God gave him victory. God gave that small army of Israel victory over this enormous army of the Ethiopians when he called out upon God. Years passed. No longer was he a young king in his 20s calling out to God because he didn't know what kings do. But he learned the ways of being a king. He learned how kings handled things. And now in his 50s, another army arises against him. And instead of calling upon God, he hires the Assyrians. He decides, and maybe from the human perspective, there's some good thinking here. Hey, well, why should we go out and fight the Assyrians and have our young men die? We'll hire this other group of mercenaries. They'll go out and battle for us. So he takes money and he pays them, and he sends them out to fight. Now he's trusting not in God, but in a mercenary army. There's loyalty when you trust in God. There's not loyalty when you trust in a mercenary army. And so God sent a prophet to Asa. And the prophet said, "When you were young, you called out upon me, and I delivered you from the Ethiopians. But when you were older, you relied on your own abilities, and the eyes of the Lord are going back and forth across the face of the whole earth to show himself strong to those whose hearts are loyal." That is, I'm not coming to you, God, as a last measure. I'm coming to you now, God, with this. Doesn't mean we don't go to doctors. It means we go to God first. Or we go to God when we get that news and we move forward. We are loyal to trust in God. It's a main key in God moving strong in our lives. And when we talk about prayer, we want God to move strong in our lives. And so we want to be loyal to Him. He says, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, that I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight." That simply means he's got a desire to do good, to do what's right. Doesn't mean he's always done what's good. He doesn't say, "And to know that I've always done what is good," but that he's done good. You and I don't do good works to be saved, but once we've come to Christ, we do good things because we love him. And Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." So we want to have a right relationship with God and to be walking with him. And if by chance you aren't, doesn't mean your prayers can't be effective, because you can make things right with God in a moment, and you could say to him, "Lord, I want to do what you want me to do." And you might even throw in, like I do in my prayers, when I say to God, "Lord, I want to do what you want me to do," I always throw in a, will you help me? And God, will you help me? Because I need that. Because I realize as soon as I say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do, I realize that I'm weak and that God can help me to be able to do it. But we want to do what God wants us to do. We certainly don't want to be the person who goes, well, I love Jesus. I just don't want to do what he wants me to do. And oh, by the way, God, I need your help with my son. We want to be, Lord, I want to do good. I'm sorry when I don't. Please help me to do good. And now, Lord, my son, he needs you to intervene. Right? So he's walking in truth, he's got loyalty, and he's doing what is good. And then it says, and Hezekiah, the very end of the verse, wept bitterly. He was emotional. I'm certainly not saying to put on a show to be emotional. But I am saying that when, remember, we're not talking about you standing up in front of people and beginning to pray and then be like, and start crying. We're talking about you in your prayer closet. And you and I have a tendency to put up walls so that even when I talk about something that's very tender to my heart, something that can choke me up, something that I could shed tears over, I have a tendency to put up those barriers and look very tough to you. And I'm saying that when you get alone with God, and you're going to pray about your kid's marriage or your marriage, that you get vulnerable to God. Take those walls down. Allow yourself to feel the emotion of what's going on, of the illness, of the marriage, of the person walking away from God. Allow yourself to feel that emotion. And then to pray with fervency. I quoted a verse earlier, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. He turned his face to the wall and he wept. For you to say, you're going to bed at night, oh yeah, I forgot to pray, oh Lord, save my marriage in the name of Jesus, amen. Or for you to sit down maybe in a bathroom in the house and get very vulnerable to God and to say, God, save my marriage. To let the emotion happen. To take down all those barriers that keep you from there. I think there's something incredibly healthy about this, by the way. We put up barriers, we put up barriers, we put up barriers, and we don't let the emotion come out. No better person to turn your face to the wall and weep to than to God. Weep over the things that matter to you. Weep over the things you care about. Weep over the fact that babies are being killed in America. Let it be something that can strike you. Babies that are viable outside of the womb who feel pain are being killed inside of the womb. We're living in the days of slavery, but it's unborn babies. We're living in the days of a Holocaust, but it's unborn babies. Let it strike you. Let a prayer army of people cry out before God, letting the emotion hit us with things right with God and loyalty to him. And let's see what God can do. And the very things you care about, the things in your life that you can be emotional about because you really and genuinely care about them. I'm not saying you manufacture it. I'm not saying you get into prayer and pinch your ear until a tear comes down and then start to pray. I'm saying that you take the walls away and you let that vulnerability be before God because there's no danger in that. And the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman accomplishes much. Now, what happens to his prayer? What happens to him? Well, let's read here. It says, and the word of the Lord came to Hezekiah. That's how it all started. The word of the Lord came to Hezekiah. Go tell Hezekiah he's going to die. Get his affairs in order. Go tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I've heard your prayer. Well, that's what we want. We want God to be able to hear our prayers. And if there's something that's going to hinder us from hearing his prayer, then we want that out of the way. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. Hezekiah got a word from the Lord. He was going to die. He prayed effectively, and God gave him 15 more years. Don't tell me prayer doesn't change things. Prayer could change the appointed time of someone's death. It's appointed once for man to die, and then comes judgment. Prayer can change all kinds of things if we'll have enough faith to trust in God and make time to do it. Now, can I spend the remainder of this time being very practical? If you say no, I'm going to anyway, so I might as well do it. I had said earlier that how you pray, when you pray, it doesn't work the same for everybody. For me, getting up really early and praying doesn't work really well. Because I do things like I try to get my Bible open, I have my coffee, I sit down at my desk, and I start to pray, and I put my forehead on my Bible, and I sleep. It's just not a good time for me to pray. Nighttime used to be a better time for me, but now that I'm getting older, I get really tired. There's a time at night I'm just like, I gotta go to bed. I'm feeling really, really tired. And I wake up earlier than I want to, by the way. That's where I'm at in life. Maybe I ought to switch it to early morning prayer. But for me, it's taking a walk. That's probably the most effective way. Driving. Redeem the time. For me, I'm talking about me now. And some of you may judge me on this, and go ahead. I don't care. What matters is me and God. But as I'm driving, for me to just stop and start to take time and not rush into his presence and then begin to really pray for the things that I care about, as I said, to be fervent about it, to really call out to God. I live 45 minutes from both campuses. I live in South Phoenix. It's not that far away. It's Oro Valley, but it feels like it's South Phoenix. And it's good for me to redeem that time and to call out to God and pray. For some of you, it may be that mid-morning. Maybe you're blessed with a lot of freedom of time and you're able to use a mid-morning and just go in before God and sit down with that cup of coffee and pray until you're done. I'm not saying pray until you're done. When I was a young pastor in my 20s, I thought pastor isn't worth his salt unless he's praying for his body at least an hour a day. So I'm going to pray for this body for an hour a day. Well, the only timer we had was a kitchen timer. So I, it's a 20 minute kitchen timer. I set it to 20 minutes and I put it under a pillow in the room I was praying in because the tick, 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 tick drove me crazy. And I prayed for the church. I prayed for the people of the church. I prayed for the people that I knew were struggling in the church. I prayed that people would be closer to God. I prayed that they would love the word. I prayed that God would use them. I prayed that they would be good witnesses. I would pray for anything I could possibly think of praying for you guys for. And then I would move the pillow away and 5 minutes had passed. I had 55 more minutes to pray. I'd put it back down. Okay, God. And also, would you, and I'd start to try to go again. Well, it didn't take very long from that for me to just realize, and maybe the Lord to speak it to me, that I should pray until I'm done. Forget the timer. Go into the room. Set the time aside. Go into the room and pray until I'm finished. I'm going to go pray for the body now. And I go and sit down. I begin to pray. You know what I found? I found that I prayed for significantly longer than I did before. I'm not saying I prayed longer than an hour, because I didn't. I'm saying that I found that I would pray when worried about time, and I just found myself praying, really pouring into that, and that I prayed until I was done. And then I could get up and go. And my advice to you is forget the ideals that people have when they lay trips on people. If you don't pray an hour, I've heard someone pray, if you as a Christian don't pray for an hour, you might as well not even pray. Well, I don't even tell you what I want to say to them. It's just like you take your judgment and go home. Because that's the nicest thing that I could say. Because God doesn't feel that way. God wants you to pour out your heart to him and you do it until you're done. And it's sustainable then, folks. It's like when you decide the new year comes along, you decide I'm going to go to the gym 4 times a week. I'm going to work out for an hour and a half every time I'm there. And you do that for like 2 weeks because you're so sore you can't even walk. You quit. It's unsustainable. Or your new diet. I'm going to eat 800 calories a day. And you do that for one day because the next day you eat 5,000 calories because it's unsustainable. I'm saying in a very practical way, make your prayer life sustainable. You're going to have to find time to do it. I'm talking practical now. You're going to have to find time to do it. So do it in a way that's sustainable for you. Do it at a time that works for you because it's not the same for everyone else. Now, one more thing and then I'm done. We're going to come up with a prayer app for the church. We're going to put a prayer app together so that you can go on, search for Calvary Chapel, and a prayer app will come up. The prayer app will give you a section that you can put your own prayers in to pray for, and it will give you a section that's for the church, kind of like the old-time church prayer chain, that you'll be able to go on the app and look at prayers from other people for the church. Some of them will post for the church. Some of them will post for people that are having needs. So you can make a connection here with this body, and you can be praying for people in this body. And we don't have it yet. It's going to take us a little while to get it together. And there's a lot of prayer apps out there. And if you want to use one that's not this app, please do. There's an app called Echo, E-C-H-O, Echo Prayer. And it allows you to make a list of things you're praying for. And then you can hit prayer and you'll leaf through it. I think it could be very good because you can redeem some time with that. You could pray for it. You know, you get your phone out. You spend how many hours a day do you spend looking at the screen on your phone? I realize some of you don't. Some of you are Luddites and don't. Some of you are more wise with your time and don't. Okay, I understand that. But I'm just saying in the world that we live in, to be able to check in with your prayer app and to pray for the things that you've taken time to make a list of can be very effective and practical. And also then to be able to click on it and on the church app and to be able to pray for some people at the church. And I pray for the whole list that's there, but to be able to pray for some of the people that are on that list. I've also put something else together we're just starting on called a prayer guide, Calvary Tucson Prayer Guide. So if you download the Echo app, then you go to feeds, not groups. Groups are very small, but go to feeds and there'll be churches there. Type in Calvary Tucson Church and our two ones will come up. The church, which is going to have, it's going to be kind of like a prayer chain. Then there's going to be the prayer guide, which I'm breaking down the Lord's Prayer into several different sections so you can daily go through and pray the Lord's Prayer, or at least the things that are there instead of just reciting it. So I'm talking practical ways now. This is a way that we want to help you. We want to be a church that prays for the next year. We want to be a church that prays for the next decade, and we want our prayers to matter. And this is just one of the ways that we're trying to come alongside of you and do anything we can do to make that happen. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, we're so moved when we see that Hezekiah changes his destiny, that he got a word from you that he was going to die and that you gave him 15 more years when he was effective in his prayer before you. And Lord, we want to be effective. And I pray for everyone here that they would be able to fit prayer into their lives daily in the time and place that it's the most effective for them. And that they would indeed be righteous and that they would indeed do it with fervency. Lord, we want our prayers to be effective. We want things to change. So we pray that you would help us to do so. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed, encouraged, and edified by what you've heard here on Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel here in Tucson, Arizona. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs.
We want to let our Practical Christian Living radio listeners know that we are closely monitoring public and private sources of information associated with the COVID-19 pandemic, and we have prayerfully decided to reopen and resume church services while practicing safe physical distancing. Our new East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday morning at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus service times are Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times will remain the same, Wednesday evenings, 6 p.m. at our East Campus, 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you have any concerns about your health or you're in a high-risk category, please attend our online campus at calvarytucson.com. Our online campus will be available during East Campus service times. Other ministries, including our children's, youth, college, men's, and women's ministries will reopen at a later date, but are currently available at our online campus. We encourage children and youth to attend main church services with their families. For a list of complete policies we are implementing as we reopen and updates on when other ministries will reopen, please visit calvarytucson.com. Let's all remain in prayer over this situation and, above all, walk in love toward one another. We'll see you soon at either our East, West, or our online campus. We are grateful for your generosity in supporting this ministry. If you would like to donate to Practical Christian Living Radio, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org. There, you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner and commit to support Practical Christian Living on a recurring basis. We thank you for your support.